Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Tighten up. That's what we need to do with our lives. We need to tighten up a lot of things because so much of our things that we do in our lives are just too loose. We're just too loose. We need to just tighten up. Amen. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth, and I am your host, Elder QT Doc, and I'm here just to bring you whatever the Lord is leading me to say. Amen. I thank everyone on the line for just tuning in and being obedient to the word and just joining in. Amen. It's ironic. Right before we got started, my beautiful wife made some pot pie, and the pot pie was just so good. I didn't want to come on the line right away. And then I just remembered the Bible says, man cannot live by bread alone. So I just said, oh, my Lord God, you're doing it to me again. I guess I just got to tighten up. I have to tighten up. Amen. I must tighten up. God is just so good. I mean, he bring everything to your remembrance. Everything to your remembrance. Amen. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. And I am your host, Elder QT Docs. Hey, I'm coming to you under the auspices of Kingdom Builder Development Institute, under the direction of Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Dox. Amen. God is just so good. God is just so good. Let us pray. You know, I want us to pray for a clear mind, and I'm asking God for that spiritual stability in times of confusion. I want us to pray for that spirit of empower and discernment, that spirit of discernment for the church, for our family, for our jobs, for our neighborhood, for our community. Amen. We need that clear mind. We need that desire to have that clear mind in time when deceit and deception flood into our minds from so many quarters of the earth. And so I pray that we would learn to take every thought captive, so that we may not be tossed about to and fro by many winds of doctrine, of false doctrine, that we can cause such confusion in our mind. And when we cause confusion in our mind, we cause confusions to others, and that allow us to distort the truth. Amen. But when you pray and we ask the Lord to allow us to pray in his truth so we can proclaim his word. And Father, and I continue to ask you for us that we do not want to be swept, not to be sucked up into the word, into the world's way of thinking. And that we pray that you would give us increase in an ongoing clarity of thought in our home, in our work, in our communities, with our families, at the church, and in the general activities of life as we go by and doing your work, my Lord. As we just pray, dear Lord, for that special devotion of fellowship with the saints, with other believers, to open our eyes of understanding, Father God. As we pray and give, we're asking you to give us that real wisdom, the wisdom of Solomon, to help us not to fall into our spiritual slumber, but rather to remain alert and watchful. Know that the days ahead are evil. So Lord, we thank you that we are your blood. We are a child that is bought by the blood of your Son, that nothing can separate us from your love. Give us the grace, dear Lord, I pray, to stand fast unto Christ Jesus. Come back again. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be coming to you from Mark 9:38-50. I'm going to be just taking a little bit here and there. And the title is Tighten Up. We need to tighten up our lives. We need to tighten up everything that we do, amen? We need to just tighten up because we are too loose. The top on our container is screwed too far to the left. You know, you heard that old cliche, tidy righty, amen? Well, we need a tidy righty. We need to just tighten up on the things that we do. Amen. You know, we talk about in Mark, you know, how the disciples failed to understand the meaning of that road that they were traveling to Jerusalem. That struggle that took them through a myriad of emotions until they stand before the risen Christ and finally grasp the work that they have been given to do. But as they were following Jesus, it appears to be quite painful to us, the things that they were going through and the things that they were experiencing. But yet it was gratitude. It was a dynamic of their relationship between Jesus and the disciple was appearing to be making, you know, the travel somewhat uncomfortable because they're following Jesus and yet they're not grasping what our Lord and Savior is trying to instill in them. You know, Mark shows us the messiness of the community. We must tighten up, my brothers and sisters, the difficulty of living with one another, as we can see that it appears on surface that the disciples was getting along with one another, but in reality, it was a messiness that's going on. And they weren't really getting along with one another as it appears on the surface. The difficulty of putting aside, you know, their own messiness and embracing the Word of God and life that we are called. Same thing as we do. We have to put away our messiness and embrace the Word because we are called in to do the work that God has assigned us to do. Amen? That God has assigned us to do. Amen. The ninth chapter of Mark, we hear the word of Jesus. He pronounced the pronouncement to the disciple and those others who were listening about the cost of discipleship. No, it costs, as we know, as we go and we are disciples of our Lord and Savior, and we go and we preach and we speak and we proclaim His word to others, and it's a cost. It drains you sometimes. It takes a lot out of you because some people just don't listen. Sometimes when they do listen, it goes in one ear and out the other. But Jesus tells us that He has accepted His messianic destiny, and that from that time forward, you know, he has given us that same assignment. You know, we have to accept what God has given us. So as He was taking His disciple towards Jerusalem, we have a destiny that we must follow, and we must continue down that same road, and don't be derailed or diverted by any distraction. You know, and Mark, in chapter 9, as it unfolded, that Jesus will be and has been teaching His disciple about what it will truly mean to be a follower of Jesus. Just as we follow our shepherds, just as we follow the word of God, you know, it's teaching us what it truly means to be a disciple of our Lord and Savior. See, we witness the transfiguration of the frustration of Jesus as the disciple argued with the scribes over the healing of an epileptic child who neither group is able to heal. You know, we cross people. Our path has crossed individuals that groups of individuals that think that they can do it all. You know, they know it all. It goes this way, it goes that way. But yet no one has the ability to do anything. Same way with the disciples. Here they are arguing with the scribes about the epileptic child, who neither of them had the ability to heal anyway. But yet they were bolstering. But Jesus' frustration boiled over as He refers to those present as faithless generations. It makes them wonder, how much longer must I put up with you? I was moving off. Jesus is very swift to respond. Amen. And He, with the seriousness of the moment, is, you know, he was telling them clearly that they must tighten up on their understanding of their ministry. We must tighten up on our understanding of our ministry. We must tighten up on our understanding of our assignment. We must tighten up on our understanding of our relationship with God. We must tighten up on our understanding with the church. We must tighten up on our understanding with our family. We must tighten up on understanding the community, our jobs. We must tighten up. We must tighten up. And Jesus said, you know, either you tighten up, if not, you are better off in the trash heap in Gehenna. He said Gehenna. Gehenna is a place or a state of misery. It's like hell says. It's awful. Awful, I'm talking about O-F-F-A-L. It is the parts of an animal body that are thrown away in this particular area after the animals has been butchered. You see, Gehenna is a valley below Jerusalem where children were sacrificed and where idolatry was practiced. And there, and where later, awful and refuse was slowly burned. You know, offer is the bodies, pieces of animals that's not being used. Amen? It's a place where the wicked are punished after death. A state of pain and torment. Just like hell, isn't it? It's where the worm never dies. and the fire is never quenched. Amen. But Jesus tell them, his disciples, that they must be a sacrifice to God. Just as salt accompanies every sacrifice made in the temple, the disciples must submit to the sacrifice and allow God to purge away everything contrary to God's will. Are we worth our salt, our weight in salt? Are we? See, but Jesus exhorted them to guard their salt, like qualities, in order to be a peace with one another. Are we our peace with one another? Are we our peace within ourselves? See, Jesus is telling them that they cannot continue to live in strife with one another. See, this journey is too important. The journey to Jerusalem will continue to get more and more difficult as the travel goes on. And what will set them apart are not distinction of rank and who can be better and who can do this and worth, the quality of their saltness. Are you worth your weight in salt? Tighten up, my brothers and sisters. We must tighten up. They must put aside their petty arguments and jealousies. And they must recognize in one another their common commitment to Jesus, the gospel, and their serving vocation. We must recognize our commitment, our assignment, our vocation. Because we are serving him. We are serving him. In other words, the softness comes from the sacrifice, from looking outward towards the community, towards looking outward to our family, to our friends, to our colleagues, to our coworkers, from listening to the teaching of Jesus, to the teaching of your shepherd, to the teaching of authority. You know, in Numbers, you know, that it talks about how Joshua could not tolerate someone who prophesied that had not attended the meeting that Moses called. See, Joshua felt that he was the great Upar, that by him being close to Moses and attending all the meeting, that when others wanted to prophesy, Joshua was sort of got upset that, how could you prophesy? How could you tell me what to do? You weren't at the meeting. But he, you know, and Joshua went to Moses and said, my Lord, Moses, he said, stop them. You know, he's telling Moses, stop them. And I love Moses' response. Moses said, Was that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord will put his spirit on them? See, Moses were exalted from the bickering and the complaining. See, Moses wanted all his followers to hear God's voice and to seek to do God's will for them. Amen? And that's what we want. You know, when we encourage someone, when we speak to someone and we talking to someone and we telling them that God is the truth and the light, as we're speaking to them, you know, we're telling them, hey, you know, we want you to hear God's voice just like we do. We want you to pray to God just like we do. We want you to receive just like we do. We don't want to be stingy with it. In essence, Moses is telling them, you think you're the only one that can prophesize? Don't you want God to give this to everyone, to all his saints? So we all struggle with this in one way or another. That false doctrine taught us to do things that's contrary to what the Bible is teaching us. See, but that's why God said you study to show yourself approved. Amen. We must tighten up, my brothers and sisters. We must tighten up. Now, our own need for perfection gives us permission to be unforgiving, to criticize others, to compare ourselves to others. That's what the disciples were doing with the scribes. They're always talking about, they talk about what they can do and who can do better and this child needed to see this doctor or that doctor. But yet none of them had the ability to do anything anyway. None of them had the ability to heal. None of them had the ability to even help the child. But yet they were criticizing each other, jealous over one another, for something that here they are learning, in the process of learning, following Jesus, but yet they're getting upset and arguing among themselves who's the greatest. You know, it's that kind of, you know, regret, that kind of beliefs, that kind of attitude, and close the door, and it will exclude and devaluate other people when we take on that kind of persona, that when we act a certain way that's not godly, when we want to be seen, heard, and when we want to be seen on something just because we can, not because we can do it, it's because we can. See, our Lord and Savior calls us to a ministry of example. And we must present ourselves to others so they can see the God in us. A ministry in which we have, in which we leave that chaos and messiness of our lives behind. That messiness of our lives and in our community behind. That messiness, so we can show them the true love that's inside of us. The true love that we present in our present has a great deal of showing when people see us in the way they want to be. You know, if we're walking wrong, they're laughing at us. We're saying one thing and doing another, they're laughing at us because we're not walking the way we should walk. We're not preaching or teaching. Or as that old cliche is, you preach what you teach what you preach. And you do those things because we are an example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're watching us. They're looking at us. And if we want to make an impression on them, they must see that godliness in us. See, I think it's important to consider that we can begin to walk away from that chaos, from that messiness, into a relationship that speaks of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. See, we in this community where we are giving tools for that very lifelong endeavor, and the tools are in the Bible. That's the tools we have, in our Bible, in our prayers. And we must show them, this is where you can find your tools. This is where your resources lies. It's in the Bible. It's in your prayers. Amen. We must tighten up, my brothers and sisters. We must tighten up this walk of drugs. We must tighten up this walk of of drunkenness. We must tighten up this walk of backbiting. We must tighten up this walk of lies. We must tighten up this walk. This walk of just hate. We must tighten up this walk of unforgiveness. We must take that lid, that top on that jar, and just tighten it up, because too much is going out. We're letting too much out. We're allowing too much to leave. We must tighten up so we can walk that narrow path, so we can stay on track. Amen. You know, and that's involved the cutting of the covenant. You know, because our ancestors, the story of Abram, we can read, you know, that covenant ceremony, but, you know, it involved a cutting of the covenant, the building of stacks, stones, altar, the giving of new names after covenant are made between God and the community of Abram, or Abraham, as we come to know him. See, in our Book of Common Prayers, we have the one of the foundational pieces of our faith, that baptismal covenant. We have the tools, but we also have our inner dialogue, that inner man that can destroy whatever goodness we pursue. And we run into that a lot. We definitely run into that a lot, that inner man that telling us when we want to do right, the inner man telling us to do wrong. You know, when you want to forgive this person, but the inner dialogue keeps reminding you or us of how angry we could be if we do not forgive. And it keeps bearing that this person does not deserve to be forgiven. You know, after all, remember what he or she did to us. Amen. That's the inner man that we're talking to, that is controlling us. You know, that inner dialogue becomes that culprit that we start to accuse and we start to believe. And the conversation continues. What if you remember that you have been forgiven? You have been forgiven by God and so many others. Think of the things you have done. Think of the wrong you have done. And yet, so many forgave you for your actions. Think of those things. Now, let's allow yourself to remember the wonderful feelings of easiness that happens as you release those resentment and jealousy and envy when you stop walking in unforgiveness. Think of that burden that was relieved when you dropped all of that. You can run faster. You can stand up straight. Amen. See, what happened if we decide to change that inner man to consider the blessings and mercy that was given to us freely? It was given to us freely. Amen. What if we decide to walk from that chaos and that messiness? We need to tighten up, my brothers and sisters, and this order into a life called by God. Amen. We must tighten up, my brothers and sisters. We'll take a break, take a pause for the calls. Amen. Tighten up, my brothers and sisters. With. First, tighten up on the drum.
tighten it up for me now. Oh yeah. Tighten up on that bass now. Tighten it up. Yeah. Now let that guitar fall in. Oh yeah. Tighten up on the organ now.
Amen, amen. We must tighten up. We must tighten up our life. Because it's just too messiness, the chaos, the disorder. We must decide to walk from away from that chaos, that disorder, that confusion, into a life that is called by God. We must tighten up. We must tighten up. We must let those things go that is holding us back. My brothers and sisters, we must tighten up. Because life, if we don't tighten up our life, we're going to eventually lose it all. We've got to tighten up. You know, let that those drugs go. Let the life of crime go. That conniving, that trying to be a con person, trying to thinking you better than someone, that haughtiness, that pride. We must tighten up on that. We must use that wonderful tool that God has bestowed upon us since the beginning of creation, the gift that he has given all of us. And that gift look good on you. And you must tighten up that gift to use that gift, to show that gift to others. My brothers and sisters, we must tighten up. We must tighten up. Tighten up on life. Use that gift. Amen. Because our gifts look good on us. That inner man that's inside of us that makes that decision will change drastically. As it did for the disciple. As they witnessed their Lord and Savior 3 days after he was raised. After his death, he was raised. And it all came to light to them. That, you know, it's like a bell ringing in their head. I remember now. I remember what our Messiah was telling us, what our Savior was telling us. But everything is now falling into place. Those pieces are right there. You know, what he was telling us, I receive it now. I receive it thoroughly now. I receive it in detail. I receive it completely. See, these lessons are ours because of the preservation of the scriptures. The scriptures is telling us to tighten up. The scriptures telling us to meditate on it, to read it daily, to regurgitate it when it's time to speak up and speak out, to proclaim the word of God. Amen. My brothers and sisters, it's time to tighten up. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. We must tighten up. Tighten up on our lives. We must tighten up with our relationship with our significant other, our husband and wives, with our jobs, with our sons and daughters, and you know, with our family members. We must tighten up with our neighbors, in our community. We must tighten up. We must tighten up with the wrong and right, and to stand up for what is right, and not to sweep it under the rug when we see wrong. We must be a testimony. We must stand there. You know, it's. I remember on. I believe it was on 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday when Brother Day was talking about a son, how his son was, his father was always working, and how his son was trying to tighten up his father's time to basically spend time with him, and every time his son said, "Dad, are you ready to play baseball?" And he said, "Son," he said, next time, he said, I have some work to do. And Next time the son said, Dad, are you taking me to the movies? Are you taking me to the park? Are you taking me fishing? Are you taking me here and there? And his dad always said, he said, baby boy, I got things to do. I have to be at the office. I have to do this. As the years went by, you know, the son was asking the same question. The father never had time for his son. He wasn't tightening up his schedule to spend time with his son. And then his son went off to college. And his son had a career. I can't recall what it was, but his father now is retired, and he was calling up his son and said, son, how you doing? He said, how's my grandchildren? And the son was saying, Dad, they're okay. He said, but when you gonna bring them over to see you, to see Granddad? And his son said, Dad, just wait a minute. You know, he said, I got a little bit of something to do, and I give you a call next time, and I let you know. And his father will continue to call, and father realizes, you know, that bell went off in his head that he never tightened up for his son. So now his son's like, it's like a repeat. It's like it's like a image. It's like a painting of him. His son now saying, now he sees that his son doesn't have time for him. The same way he didn't have time for his son when his son was growing up. Now his son's spending so much time with his family, he don't have time for his dad. You know, it's like, see, Dad, I learned from you. You know, there's no time. You know, you didn't tighten up for me, and I, at this time I can't tighten up for you. So what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters in Christ, find time to tighten up what you're doing that's not like God. Find time to tighten it up, because this is the time, because pretty soon the lid is going to come all the way off that jar, and you won't have time to tighten it up. So tighten it up now while you can. Amen? This is the time to tighten it up. Tighten up all that's not like God. Tighten it up, because you want to be there. You want to be ready when he calls you. You want to know where you're going when he calls you. Amen? Tighten up, my brothers and sisters. This is the time. And if you're having that hard time to try to tighten up, you find yourself. Look for a good Bible-based church. You know, just find someone that can give you that Romans 10 and 9 that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Find that time to tighten up the scriptures in your life. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the time, my brothers and sisters, to tighten up. Amen? Tighten up. I just want to thank you for being an intended audience and just being obedient and being there and just standing on the wall with me, just standing in the gap with me, just encouraging me because I feel your vibes. I feel your spirit. I feel your voice. I feel it when I'm here trying to encourage myself in what I'm saying, and I'm hoping that I'm encouraging you. I'm hoping that you receive what I am saying, because I am receiving, because it's a help for me. It's a help for me, and I hope I can help you, and I hope you can help someone, you know, for today and tomorrow and next week, and lead them and encourage them and direct them and give them a testimony that they can stand up and walk and say, you know, yes, Lord. I want to surrender all to you. I want to come into your house. I want to be part. I want to thirst. I want this water where I don't need a thirst no more. Amen. Thank you once again. This is Elder Doc's Thirsty Thirst for Truth. Amen. Under the auspices of Kingdom Builders Development Institute. Amen. I just want to thank you. Amen. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Dox, the director of all of this that made all of this possible. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Tighten up. You know, I want to thank you, Elder, because truly it just brought back to my heart the teaching that God gave me for yesterday and talking about putting on the whole armor. That's how we tighten up. We tighten up by wearing the armor in Ephesians 6, where the Lord says, put on the whole armor so that we can, what? Withstand the wiles of the devil. But in Ephesians 6, and I began to think about that, the metal armor that Paul was talking about. And he began with a belt. And, you know, the belt was made of leather. And I believe that it's one of the most important part, you know, as being a warrior, an important part of your armor, you know, because almost without your armor and without your belt, the armor will fall, right? And so a lot of our young people, they don't wear belts. And everything just loose. And it's falling apart. And so, as I recall, Paul was in prison in Rome. And I know you know the story. You know, he had been arrested. And after the fire that almost destroyed the city. And Neron blamed the fire on the Christians. And I don't want to go behind Elder and teach, but it just brought to my memory how Paul was handcuffed constantly by the guards. But and as Paul was handcuffed, he began to notice how the soldiers, how they stood, and he began to observe and absorb how they were carrying themselves, the body armor. Paul began to look at the shoes, and he noticed the shield, and, you know, they were tight. They were tight because the Roman soldiers kept their eyes on their prisoner. So you're talking about a body armor, standing your ground by putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Then our shoes shine with the preparation of the gospel. That's how we tighten up so that we can be fully prepared, because guess what? The wiles of the devil is a constant act. But in addition to those wiles coming, if you hold up that shield of faith, every dart that's thrown, you can block it. And then put on that helmet, your thoughts, hallelujah. You guard it, and then the sword of the Spirit, hallelujah, tighten up. And then once you put on that armor, pray in the Spirit. You know, build yourself up. Stay alert. Stay persistent in prayer and just believe that these are the tools that's going to keep you tight. Amen? Because he's coming back, and when he comes back, you want to be able to say that you have on the whole armor of God. Amen. 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 That really, really blessed me, Elder. And I want to thank you for when he said, I want you to play Tighten Up, Baby. I was like, oh, Lord, have mercy. And then I began to get the revelation. Tighten up. Tighten up your relationship. How do you do that? Putting on the armor. So when the spiritual battle comes, it's coming. It allows us to understand what God is trying to do through us so that he can get something to someone else. Because I promise you, it's never about us. It's always about being a blessing to someone else. So we have to correct things that's wrong by the word of God. And we have to do it in love. Amen. So I just want to thank you, Elder, and I want to thank everyone on the line that you're here with us and you're faithful. And keep your belt tight. because once that belt is tight, you are able to keep yourself together. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Keep on the armor, and so that you'll be able to fight this spiritual battle, and you'll always win through Jesus Christ. It prevents everything from falling apart. Amen, amen, amen. I just want to thank everyone again, and I want to encourage you to ask God, what does he have need of you? What is it that he's asking you to do? Write it down, make it plain, so that those that read it can run with it. So every single day, you're doing something to build up purpose and destiny for someone else. Amen, amen. And I just hear the Lord saying, I give myself away so that you, hallelujah, can use me. Give yourself away so that God can use you. Amen. I want to encourage you to be blessed. And Father, we just thank you for what you're doing, how you're moving, how you lead our day. God, we ask you to tighten us up. Show us how to wear the armor. Show us what we need. Show us how to do what you have told us to do. And as you continue to speak to us, Father, we ask you to let us hear your voice and let us move at your command. In the mighty, massive name of Jesus, we thank you, and we thank you for using us today. In the name of Jesus. Well, again, we're going to release you from the line, but never, ever are you released from the presence of God. Why? Because he favored you. Embrace the favor and walk in God's bless, in his best. Amen, and stay blessed. God bless everyone, and we'll see you next time, same place, same time. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of your evening.
This is my testimony, everybody. How God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words.
Love is patient, caring. Love is kind.
Love is felt most.
Love is felt most when
it's genuine. I had my share of love abuse, manipulated, and its strength
misused.
And I can't help but to give God
glory
when I think about my story.